Of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Welcome back to a very beautiful Sunday morning to worship our God. Hallelujah. This morning the Lord is going to meet you at the point of your need. Hallelujah. I'm encouraging you that have a very expectant heart that the Lord is going to drop something into your spirit. He will leave a deposit into you. He will leave an indelible mark on you. Your life will never be the same this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. We will take two scripture readings. The first one we are taking from Matthew Gospel chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. Matthew Gospel 14, 22 to 33. And we also take another one from Mark Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. So the first one, Matthew Gospel 14, 22 to 33.
Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen.
Amen. Mark Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35 to 41.
On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen.
Amen. I am an agent of change. Oh, I am an agent of change. Oh, the Spirit of God rest in me, transforming lives and all around me. Oh, the Spirit of God, oh, rest. Transforming lives and all. Hallelujah. This morning, the title of the message is Jesus Christ, Calm All Storms of Life. Jesus Christ calms all storms of life. Hallelujah. We read two scriptures, one from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 14, verse 22 to 33, and the other one from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. They are two different stories, but very similar. The one in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, was the story when Jesus Christ walked on the waters. He walked on the Sea of Galilee. And the one in Mark's Gospel, chapter 35, was the one that Jesus Christ was in the boat with his disciples, and there was a raging storm that occurred on the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus Christ calmed the storms when he was in the boat with his disciples. Hallelujah. The first one with regard to Matthew Gospel, chapter 14, verse 22 to 33, happened when Jesus Christ had performed a very spectacular miracle by feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes. So after that spectacular miracle, the Bible said that Jesus Christ then withdrew from the people and went into the mountain to pray. But before he went into the mountain to pray, the Bible said that he told his disciples to get into the boat and then get to the other side of the lake or of the sea. So the Bible said that when the disciples were in the boat, all of a sudden a raging storm occurred. And then they were trying to calm the storms. They became very fearful. They were being threatened by the danger of the raging storm. So the Bible said that it was also in the night, around the fourth hour, which is around 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock a.m. And whilst they were calming the storm, or they were trying to calm the storm, the Bible said they saw Jesus Christ coming towards them, walking on the sea. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that when they saw Jesus Christ coming or walking on the waters of the Sea of Galilee, the Bible said that the disciples melted in fear and they were very worried. And they cried and they said that he is a ghost. He is a ghost. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ told them that I am not a ghost. It is me, Jesus Christ. And then they said that if you are the one that we know, the one who performed all these great miracles, then tell me, Peter, to come, and then I'll also come. So the Bible said that Jesus Christ told Peter, Peter, oh, come. And Peter started walking on the sea. Very, very interesting. Peter walking on the sea. And then all of a sudden, Peter started looking at the boisterous winds, how the wind is tossing to and fro. And the Bible said that he started sinking and he cried out unto Jesus. And when he cried out unto Jesus, Jesus held his hand and brought him into the boat. And when he brought him into the boat, the Bible said that Jesus Christ told them, why are you so fearful? Why do you have very little faith? And all of a sudden, the boisterous winds, the raging waves, all of them ceased. Hallelujah. And then they came to the shore. And when they came to the shore, the Bible said that all the people who were in the boat worshiped the Lord God Almighty. They recognized that he is the King of Kings. And the Bible said that they said, indeed, he is truly the Son of God. Hallelujah. He is indeed the Son of God. This story is also being recorded in Mark Gospel chapter 6, verse 45 to 52, and also in John chapter 6, verse 15 to 21. And I want to point out some differences between these three Gospels. All of them wrote the story in a different way. All of them wrote the story in a different way. In the case of the Mark Gospel, the last verse, the Bible said that when Jesus Christ came into the shore with the disciples were astounded. They were astonished for Jesus Christ being able to calm the storms and being able to walk on the Sea of Galilee. So the Bible said that they were astounded, and they were also astounded because they did not even get the full understanding of why Jesus Christ was able to feed the 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and then the two little fishes. So this is the difference that Mark pointed out. And when we look at the John's Gospel, that is John Gospel chapter 6 verse 15, John also said that after Jesus Christ has fed the 5,000 people with the five loaves of bread and the two little fishes, the people wanted to take Jesus Christ by force and then make him a king. Hallelujah. So that every day they will be able to get food to eat. Hallelujah. Man is always looking for food. Amen. That is why Jesus Christ is our provider. So they wanted to force him and make him king. But the kingship of Jesus Christ is not from earth or on earth. His kingship is in heaven. Hallelujah. He is a citizen of heaven. So man cannot force him to make him a king, so that it will be contrary to the mission that Jesus Christ came to the earth to come and accomplish. So this is also the difference that Mark also pointed out when you read the gospel. And for Matthew, if you look at the last verse, Matthew was able to point out that when the boat came to the shore, the people worship Jesus Christ. And then they say that indeed, he is the Son of God. Indeed, he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So this is the story concerning Jesus Christ who walked on the Sea of Galilee. The second story that we read from Mark Gospel chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, it also concerned Jesus Christ who calmed the storms that was raging on the waters of Galilee. Now, what happened is that this one is also being reported in Matthew chapter 8, verse 22 to 27. Matthew Gospel chapter 8, verse 22 to 27. The same story is also being reported in Luke Gospel chapter 8, verse 22 to 25. I will point some similarities and some differences so that you know how all of them they recorded or reported the account of Jesus Christ calming the storms on the Sea of Galilee. In the case of the Mark Gospel, the Bible said that Jesus Christ had performed so many wonderful works. Indeed, Mark said that Jesus Christ taught about the teachings of the kingdom, the parables of the kingdom. He started by explaining to them the parable of the sower. After explaining to them the parable of the sower, he also explained the parable of the lamp and then the basket, that you don't light a lamp and then put it under a basket, but you light a lamp and you put it on a lampstand so that it will be able to shine. He also went ahead on that same day to also explain to them the parable of the growing seed, the parable of the growing seed. And then he ended up with the parable of the mustard seed. So here, Jesus Christ acted to them as a teacher, explaining to them the parable of the kingdom, how the kingdom looked like. Hallelujah. So the Bible said that after everything, they asked him that, why are you explaining or telling these people about the kingdom through parables? And when we read Mark Gospel chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus Christ told them that to them, it has been given to them so that seeing they will not perceive, hearing they will not understand. But to you, it has been given to you so that seeing you will perceive, hearing you will understand. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ acted to them as a teacher. In fact, indeed, he is the great teacher. That was why at one point in time, Mary, when he saw Jesus Christ after his resurrection, he said that Rabboni, that means the great teacher. Hallelujah. The man is able to make the scriptures very simple. He teaches with authority. Hallelujah. So he is a great teacher. Amen. When you look at the Matthew Gospel, that is the Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, the same story. It is being reported in another form. Matthew reported this story after series of miracles. The first one is Jesus Christ healing or cleansing the leper. Then after cleansing the leper, Jesus Christ then went ahead to heal the servant of the centurion. When the servant said that, Jesus Christ, you know something, you don't come into my shelter because I am a man under authority. So you just speak a word and my servant will be healed. After the healing of the servant of the centurion, the Bible said that Jesus Christ then went into the home of Peter. And when he went into the home of Peter, he saw Peter's mother-in-law sick. And the Bible said that the Lord God Almighty also healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then from there in the evening, they brought so many people to him, and then he healed all of them, casting out demons. So Matthew reported this story that Jesus Christ calmed the storm after a series of miracles. Luke reported the same as John. The same as Mark. After Jesus Christ has taught the people about the parables of the kingdom. So after these activities that Jesus Christ has done with his disciples, the Bible said that he told his disciples that let us get into the boat and then get to the other side of the lake. Get to the other side of the lake. That is Mark Gospel chapter 4 verse 35. Jesus Christ has always been crossing this lake or this sea from one side to the other. If you look at Mark Gospel chapter 4 verse 35, you see Jesus Christ crossing this Sea of Galilee. When you look at Mark Gospel chapter 5 verse 21, Jesus Christ also crossed the sea from one side to the other after he has healed the man at Gadara who was being possessed with demons. And then in Mark Gospel chapter 6 verse 45, we see Jesus Christ crossing with his disciples to the other side. And then Mark Gospel chapter 8 verse 13. So Jesus Christ was always moving from the western side of the Jewish community to always to the eastern side of the Gentile. So this Sea of Galilee, Jesus Christ was always moving to and fro on the waters of Galilee. So in the Mark Gospel chapter 4 verse 35, when Jesus Christ told them that we should move to the other side of the sea, the Bible said that they entered into the boat. And when they entered into the boat, Bible said that there was also some little boat also on the Sea of Galilee. And then as they traversed on the Sea of Galilee, all of a sudden, Jesus Christ fall asleep, depicting that he is a man. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is fully God and is fully what? Man. So Jesus Christ was asleep in the boat. And as the boat was rolling on the waters of Galilee. Hallelujah. Beloved, I want to point out some things here, then I will continue. This Sea of Galilee that the disciples were traversing with the boat with Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 34, verse 11, it is also called the Sea of Kinneret. In Numbers 34, you see it as what? The Sea of what? Kinneret. It was being named after the city called Kinneret, here with a K, in Joshua chapter 19, verse 35. So in the Old Testament, the Sea of Galilee is the same as the Sea of Kinneret. Then in Luke Gospel chapter 5 verse 1, the Sea of Galilee is also called the Lake of Gennesaret. It's also called the Lake of Gennesaret. That was where Jesus Christ saw Peter and said that, Peter, have you caught some? He said that, I've worked all day long and I did not get anything. And Jesus told him that, launch up into the deep. So that Lake of Gennesaret is the same as the Sea of what? Galilee. Then in John's Gospel chapter 6 verse 1 and also John's Gospel chapter 21 verse 1, the name of the Sea of Galilee there is what you call the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias. So it is a sea that everybody knows about. It. Just that it has different names. So when we are reading the Bible and you see the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Kinneret, the Sea of Tiberias, is the same water body. Hallelujah. So the Bible said that when the disciples were in the boat, they were traveling on the Sea of Galilee. And this Sea of Galilee, it is the lowest water body on the earth. It is about 700 feet below sea level. If you want to be specific, that is 695 feet below sea level. And it is interspersed between hills and mountains. And the hills and mountains around that place is around 300 to 1,000 feet. In fact, Mount Hermon is situated on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. Mount Hermon. That is a mountain that Jesus Christ was being transfigured. What we call the Transfiguration Mountain. It's about 10,000 feet. 10,000 feet high. 10,000 feet high. Now, this sea or this water body is between the hills and the mountains in Jerusalem. And what happened is that normally hot air will rise up. And when hot air from the sea rises up, cold air then falls. So cold air falls down. Now, what happened is that the cold air at that high elevation point will always try to swap up the warm air. So in doing that, it always causes wind or storms in that area. in that area. There's the signs behind it in that area. Hallelujah. So the Bible said that when Jesus Christ was in the boat with his disciples, he was asleep. All of a sudden, a very dangerous wind arose. And the disciples tried to use all their intelligence, all their knowledge to see if they will be able to calm the storms down. Hallelujah. Beloved, we must also understand or get this information that Jesus Christ had at least four of his disciples being fishermen. So it means that they know this Sea of Galilee very well, and they have been fishing on it. So they know, or they have been experiencing this kind of storms. So they are able to, let's say, manage some moderate storms. But in this particular time, the storm that arose was not an ordinary storm. And you understand why I was saying that. Because in the Bible said that the storm was so severe that the boat even became full, or it was nearly full, about to sink. So it was not an ordinary storm. It was not an ordinary storm. Hallelujah. The storm was very severe. I don't know the storms that you are going through. Sometimes the storms can be the storm of suffering. That you are suffering. You are going through so many afflictions, so many troubles. You don't know why. But this morning, Jesus Christ is here to calm every storm of life in your life. Hallelujah. So the storm of what? Suffering. Sometimes too, believers or people of God can experience the storms of sorrow. The storms of sorrow. You are there and you hear that your loved one has passed away, or something has happened and your heart is very sorrowful. If anybody is experiencing any storm of sorrow, may the Lord lift up his hand and touch you and give you peace. Hallelujah. So sometimes we can also experience a very severe storm of sorrow. At other times too, you can all even experience storms of sin, that you find out that your life begins to draw a sinusoidal curse. Today you are hot, tomorrow you are cold. You have become like a Laodicea church, lukewarm. But Jesus Christ is saying that all those who are lukewarm, he will spill them out. So if anyone or anybody listening to me at the sound of my voice is going through challenges in terms of sin, may the Lord stretch forth his hand and touch you so that you'll be able to live a very holy and a righteous life. Hallelujah. So the storms was very, very severe. Now, beloved, where does this storm comes from? As I explained to you, the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee is found in mountainous area. So there can be the possibility of this storm being what? Natural. So the storm can be what? Nature. Because at that place, as I told you, hot air will rise up and warm and cold air will fall down. And the cold air at that higher pressure, that higher elevation, because of the pressure difference, they will try to swap up and take the place of the warm air. In so doing, it creates this kind of storms and then what? Winds. So the storms could be natural. Or the storms could also be from God. It could also be from God. Maybe it was God who sent the storms. Or the storms could also be satanic. The storms could also be what? Satanic. Hallelujah. So we don't know the source of this word, storms. We don't know the source of this storm. And this can also be considered in our lives. Sometimes, the storms of life that we experience can also be from our own fault. It can also be from our own fault. Our own mistake can also result in storms being created in our lives. Example is Jonah. When Jonah didn't want to execute what God has entrusted into his hands by going to Nineveh and preach the gospel, the Bible said that because of Jonah, there was a great storm on the waters of Tarshish, and the boat nearly sank. So sometimes our own mistake can also result in storm. So no wonder in Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says that a man will reap whatever he sows. So sometimes based on our actions and inactions, our attitudes, and the things that we don't do right, it might also result in storms. Hallelujah. Sometimes too, the storms can also come from God to discipline us and then to draw us very close to himself. It can also come from God. And when it comes from God, most times it's to discipline us and then to draw us close to himself. An example is David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. When David committed the sin with Bathsheba, and then the sun came in, God also brought a storm in David's life to discipline David and then to draw David closer to himself. It was then that David said, "Oh God, that you take this stony heart from me and you create a heart of flesh, that you put your spirit in it." Hallelujah. So sometimes God also sends storms to discipline us and also to draw us closer to himself. At other times too, God can also allow Satan to also send storms. God can also allow Satan to also send storms. An example is in the case of Job. In the case of Job, when you read Job chapter 1 verse 9 to 12, we all understood that it was God who allowed Satan to send those storms into Job's life. So sometimes too, God will allow Satan to send storms into our lives, and then we'll be whipped. But at the end of the day, God is going to deliver. Like this coronavirus that has, some people are saying that there are some people in China who designed it and then they brought it to the world. So it can be man. It can also be Satan that God has allowed him to send this storm. It could also be God. But we don't know. But in all, we know that God is supreme and his word sovereign. Hallelujah. So the storms that arose on the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret, we don't know where the storms came from. And the disciples tried their best. They tried their best to calm it. But all of a sudden, they were not able. And then they recognized that a certain man is with them. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that they went to this man, and this man was asleep. And when they saw that the man was asleep, they said, "Hey, we are in danger, and you are asleep. Wake up." They called the man Jesus. The man Jesus wake up. He rebuked the storms and the sea, and everything was quiet. He said that, "Be still," and everything was quiet. This morning, if there is any raging storm, that has become very boisterous, very intimidating, worrying you, may you receive the peace of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus calmed the storms. And when he calmed the storms, they came to the shore. And then they looked at him. And then they said that, "What kind of man is this? What kind of man is it that even storms obeyed him?" Storms and wind obey. I'll explain to you and then you understand. You just follow me gradually. What kind of man is this that even storms even obeying? Beloved, I want to point out some differences between the Mark gospel, the Matthew gospel, and the Luke gospel as they reported this story. You see, when you look at the Mark Gospel, when they went to Jesus, according to Mark Gospel chapter 4, verse 38 to 39, the Bible said that when they woke Jesus Christ up, they said that, "Teacher, perish not thou that we perish." They use the word here, "teacher." And as I've explained to you, you will see that the reason why they use the word "teacher" here is that from the verse 1 all the way down, Jesus Christ spoke about or taught about the parables of the kingdom. So they saw him as a teacher. In fact, indeed, in this time that the disciples find themselves in, they don't need the teaching skills of Jesus. They rather need his power. But teaching also goes with what? Authority. But they called him what? Teacher. Carest not thou that we perish. They called him what? Teacher. When you look at the Luke Gospel, you just look at it. Luke Gospel chapter 8, verse the 24. Look at it. You find out that the disciples use the name Master, Master. Carest not thou that we perish. Obviously, carest not that. Here, they use the word Master. But when you go to the Matthew Gospel, Matthew chapter 8, verse 25, when they came to Jesus, they say that, "Lord, Lord, save us." So Matthew used the word Lord. Hallelujah. He used the word what? Lord. Amen. I was expecting Mark and then Luke to use the word Lord. The one who is in control. But they use Master and then what? Teacher. But Matthew used the word what? Lord. Save us. We are what? Dying. Hallelujah. Amen. I also want to point some differences also here for you to look at it. If you look at the Mark Gospel and then the Luke Gospel, when Jesus Christ arose, the Bible said that he rebuked the storm. He rebuked the storm for the storm to become quiet. Before going to rebuke the disciples, using the word oligopistos, "you of little faith," oligopistos, "you of little faith." So he rebuked the storm before rebuking the disciples. But when you look at the Matthew Gospel that used the word "Lord, save us," Jesus Christ rebuked the disciples first before rebuking the storms. And what I understood here is that if Matthew has been able to recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord, he is a master of everything, all power belongs to him, then Matthew should have been convinced that he is able to do everything. Also, Matthew reported that Jesus Christ has cleansed the leper, Jesus Christ has healed the son of the centurion, Jesus Christ has even healed the mother-in-law of Peter, and he has healed and cast out so many people who were demon-possessed. So you must be convinced that a man like this, if he is with you, then you don't need to be worried at all. So Jesus Christ rebuked them, oligopistos, "you of little faith," before going ahead to rebuke the storm. Hallelujah. Amen. So, beloved, I want to draw some parallel between the Matthew Gospel that we read, Matthew Gospel chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, Mark Gospel, and then Matthew Gospel chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. That is Jesus Christ walking on the waters of Galilee and Jesus Christ calming the storms. There are some similarities and some differences. Then after, we'll pull out some lessons from these two stories. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at these two stories, all of them point out that Jesus Christ or the disciples of Jesus Christ were in a boat. They were in a boat. They were in a boat. The second one, second similarity that we can point out here is that in both stories, it appears Jesus Christ is in some sense away from the disciples. In the case of Jesus Christ walking on the waters of Galilee, after the spectacular miracle of feeding the 5,000 people, he told his disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side whilst he goes into the mountain to pray. So it's like he was away from them. With the one that he calmed the storms, he was in the boat. However, he was asleep. He was what? Asleep. So in both cases, Jesus Christ appeared to be away from the disciples. Another thing that we can learn here is that in both cases, a raging storm occurred that threatened the faith of the disciples. When the disciples were in the boat with Jesus Christ, there was a boisterous wind, storms. Also, when Jesus Christ was away from them too, they also experienced a storm. Hallelujah. So whether he was with them or he was away, they experienced what? A storm. And all of them led to the disciples being what? Afraid. So their faith melt. Amen. One of them, they saw Jesus Christ as a ghost. And I will explain that one to you. Why they thought that Jesus Christ was a ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Good. So these are some of the similarities between the two stories. Now, this story tells us, it gives us some lessons about the danger of life, the fear that always arises from danger, and the faith which is always being generated from the storms of life that we experience. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that God will give us lessons in this word. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that we have the background of the story very nicely, can we now look at some of the lessons, that we can learn from this story. The first lesson that we can learn from this story is that anytime that you are in a storm or you encounter storm, you have to remember who is in control. Jesus Christ has already told them that they should get into the boat and go to the other side. And they must know that because he has told them, he is in control. Beloved, there is nothing that happens in the world that the Lord does not have control over it. He has control over everything, over your life, over everything. And because he has control over everything, he has the solution to everything also. Hallelujah. That is why I like this scripture so much. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 11. If you read the NKJV, he said that, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to men or bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skillful, but time and chance happened to them all. What was Solomon trying to say? Solomon was trying to explain to the people that he saw under the sun, the Christians at that time, the believers at that time, is that the fastest runner does not always win the race. Neither the strongest warrior always win the battle. That was why when Goliath, who was very, very strong, he had armory over all his body, very fortified. And then he thought that because he's the strongest warrior, he looked at David and said, I curse you with the gods of the Philistines. And David said, I also come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, in whose army you are defiled. And the Lord is going to give you unto me, and I will kill you and cut your hair. I will cut your head, because the battle is the Lord. And then when Saul was saying that this man is very strong, he has been a warrior for a very long time, you are just a youth, a common person. And then David said that, I am serving a God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. And that God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the lion, the same God will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. The short of the story was that David won the battle. So the strongest person does not always win the battle. It also means that sometimes too, the wise can also go hungry. The wise can also go hungry. The wise can also go hungry. And then the skillful person does not necessarily become very rich. The skillful person does not necessarily become very rich. And also the educated people or the learned people does not always lead a successful life. But Solomon was saying that time and chance happen to them all. That means that for them to succeed, their life, everything, it depends on God. That is, they being at the right place at the right time. And for you to be at the right place at the right time, it depends on the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you read like the verse 12 of Ecclesiastes 9:12, it's so interesting that he said that man does not have control over difficult times. As the fish does not have control over the net that is going to trap it, or the bird has control over that machine that will trap the bird, so man also don't have control over any disaster, any calamity that will befall him. That is why this coronavirus, we have no control over it. The only person who has control over it is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, beloved, we need to remember who is in control. Remember who is in control when you are in storms. The second lesson that we can also learn from here is that when you are in the storms of life, remember that there is something to learn. Remember that there is what? Something to learn. You see, Jesus Christ wanted to show them or wanted them to learn something. Because, beloved, in storms of life, it always brings growth, strength, and increase our faith. And through the faith that we develop from that internal circumstance, not the external circumstances, we are being able to be purified and refined for an exclusive use of God's work. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ told them, let us go to that. He wanted to teach them something. Look at it. The first one, when they were in the boat, they saw Jesus Christ walking on the sea, coming to them. They have been with Jesus Christ for a very long time, but they actually don't know who he was. Hallelujah. Because to them, the only person who has control over the waters is God. It's only God who has control over the waters. If you read Psalm 106, verse 9, the Bible said that God rules over the pride of the sea. So to the Israelite, it's only God who has power over the waters. Even in creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, the Bible said, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And when you look at the verse 7, the Bible says, and God created expanse between the waters. And the verse 9 said that he gathered all the waters onto one side. So in creation, God demonstrated his power over waters. And also in the Exodus story, if you look at Psalm 106 verse 9, the Bible says that God rebuked the Red Sea and caused it to dry up. He rebuked the Red Sea and caused it to dry up. And in many occasions, God has demonstrated his power over waters and storms. Parting the Jordan River into two so that they are able to walk on dry grounds. So, and they see the one who is able to do that to be only God. But they didn't know that Jesus Christ was God. So Jesus Christ walking on the waters of Galilee was telling them or demonstrating to them that he is God. Hallelujah. He is God. So through that, they were able to know that he is God. Beloved, the reason why I said that they didn't know that he is God, because God cannot be killed. Because if you look at the earlier story, Herod heard about the exploit of Jesus Christ, and he thought that it was John the Baptist, but he has already beheaded John the Baptist. So when he heard about all these things that Jesus Christ was doing, Herod was threatened, and he was looking for Jesus Christ to be killed. So when Jesus Christ told his disciples that they should enter into the boat and go to the other side, for he is going to the mountain to pray, and it has become very dark, and he has still not come back, the disciples, they were thinking that maybe Herod has killed Jesus Christ also. So when they saw him, they said that, he is a ghost coming. But he just told them, I'm not a ghost, it is I. And he used the word there, I. I am is only used by God. When he told Moses in Exodus 3:14, that when you go and Pharaoh asks you, what is my name? Tell him that I am has sent you. So I am is only used by God. And Jesus Christ said, I am. Cheer up. You should not be what? Afraid. Hallelujah. So he demonstrated to them, he showed to them that he is what? God. Hallelujah. Also, sleeping in the boat, when they called him, Jesus Christ was able to rise up. And when he rise up, he was able to rebuke the storm. And then when he rebuked the storm and the storms were calm, they said that what manner of man is this that even storms are able to hear him? So here too, there is an epiphany story here where God is acting as an agent or God incarnate. He's acting as an agent of God incarnate by invoking the power of God to do godly work. So with that, they saw him and they realized that he is the King of Kings. Hallelujah. He is God. That was why when they came to the shore, the Bible said that they knelt down and then they worship him. And they said that truly he is the Son of what? God. Truly he is the Son of God. So based on what they saw, they learned that Jesus Christ is the Son of what? Of God. This is not the first time that Jesus Christ has revealed to people that he is the Son of God. No. In Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, when he was being baptized, the heavens opened and God said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16:2, Peter also confessed that indeed you are the Son of the living God. And even during the crucifixion, when the whole place became very dark, and then there was earthquake, and then the curtains in the Holy of Holies torn into two. The Bible said that the Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 27, I think verse 54 or verse 36, also said that indeed he is truly the Son of God. So they saw that Jesus Christ was not an ordinary person, but is indeed a son of God. So anytime that we are in trouble, obviously we also learn something. We learn something because Jesus Christ has promised them. He has promised them that he's going to take them to the other side. It's the same way that he has also promised us. But most times when Christians are in a situation like this, they begin to waver. They begin to worry. Why do they do that? Because they fail. They fail to trust in his promise, the promise that he has given to us, his security. The Christian fail to trust in the power that he is able to perform a miracle even at this time. In this time, he is able to perform a miracle. They fail, have you seen it, to take hold of his presence, to take hold of what? His prayer. He promised us in Isaiah 43, verse 2, that even when we pass through even the waters, he is with us. When we pass through the river, it will not overflow us. When we pass through fire, it will not burn us. The flame will not set us ablaze because he is with us. He has promised us that in service he is with us. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, that I am with you until the end of the age. Even in stress, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, Apostle Paul said that God has strengthened me. God has strengthened me. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 6, the Lord is admonishing us that he will never forsake us or leave us. Beloved, when we are in a trouble, in problem, in storms, there's always something to learn. Because of our time, I want to bring in two more of the lessons. That when you are in storms, remember that Jesus Christ is your intercessor. He is your intercessor. He told them, that go, because I know what is in it. I'm going to the mountain to go and pray. Beloved, when we started this year, we didn't know what was in it. But the Lord God Almighty knew what was in it. And he knew that when the disciples are traversing on the water, there's going to be storms. But he is going to pray for them. He is going to pray for them. So interesting. Beloved, he is our intercessor. Even in heaven now, according to Hebrews 7:25, he is our intercessor. He is interceding for us. So because Jesus Christ is interceding for us, it's so interesting that Jesus Christ is the one who answers the prayers. When you pray, he is the one who will answer it. And the one who will answer your prayer, he himself is praying for you. He himself is praying for you. So what is your worry? Don't be worried, because he knew what was in this year. And because he's praying for you and he has prayed for you, you are what? Secure. That was why in the boat he was asleep. He was asleep in the boat. So interesting. Because when you read, I think, Psalm 4, verse 8, the Bible said that in peace, I will lay myself down and sleep. For I know that Jehovah will make me live in safety. Psalm 4, verse 8. So when Jesus Christ was in the boat sleeping, he knew that he's in the hands of God. This is a very great faith. Hallelujah. It's a very great faith. You are in a trouble like this, and then you are sleeping as if nothing is happening. Beloved, Jesus Christ is praying for us. We don't need to be worried at all. Quickly, the next thing that we need to learn is that remember that you cannot make it on your own. Remember, you cannot make it on your own. The disciples tried to calm the storms by themselves, but they could not until they called Jesus Christ. The world cannot make it on their own. I'm telling you, the panacea to this problem that we are suffering is Jesus Christ. He will be the only one to give the solution to the world. We cannot make it on our own. The fifth point that I want you to know and then bring it to an end, that Jesus Christ has power over every storms of life. He has power over every storms of life. So be at peace. Be rest assured that the one who spoke for the storm to calm down, the same person will speak in your life and everything will calm down. May the Lord God Almighty, the God of our fathers, bless you and keep you and strengthen you and empower you. May he shower his blessings upon you, even as you are in this condition Oh, even as we are all going through this pandemic, may he give you comforting words as he gave it to the disciples and their heart